Amen. Good to be here this morning. I hate that we're here because of the pastor's sick, but it's good to be here with you folks this morning. I thank God for the opportunity, but do ask you to pray for your pastor. And man, I'm horrible with names. Y'all talking about names this morning, Sunday school. I'm horrible with names. What's your youngin's name? Brooklyn. If I could remember New York or something other, maybe we could figure something out there. Do pray for them. Do pray for Brother Kevin and them also. I do ask y'all to remember them. I appreciate all of those folks and what they have meant to me over the years. And Brother Josh, Brother Kevin, and Miss Joyce and them, they'll probably never know what they mean to me. And I appreciate them. And I ask you to pray for them. So turn with us this morning, if you would, over to the book of John. And we'll begin reading there in the book of John. And I want to look at a topic there in the first chapter of John. And I want to look at something the Lord's laid on our heart the other evening about the time Brother Josh gave us a call and just hadn't been able to get away from it. And turn with us over to John chapter number 1. I'd ask you if you would stand with us and read in reverence to God's word this morning. I thank God that we're able to be in the house of God this morning. I really do. I'll be honest with you, there's a lot of people across this land would love to be able to be in the house of God. I will never forget one lady that we met down at the nursing home one day. I was working for Lynn Care and delivering oxygen, had to deliver some oxygen down to Elkin Healthcare. I went in the door and I heard Amazing Grace playing on the piano, if memory serves me correctly. I heard her and heard somebody in there just playing away. And I walked in there and I just sat down behind her. She didn't know where I was even in the room. And she played through one song and I just kept my mouth shut. She played through another song and she finally just turned her head around. She looked, she seen me sitting there. She said, "I'm sorry." I said, "Absolutely not." I said, "I love it." She said, "I wish so much that I could go back to church." You don't know how blessed you are this morning just to be able to be in the house of God. Till you begin to lose some things in life, we don't understand how blessed we are till we begin to lose them. I didn't realize how I appreciated my right hand till I had my arm operated on and had to use my left hand to feed myself. I didn't understand how much I appreciated some wore out vehicles that I've had till I've had to walk a little ways at time from time. We don't understand, we don't appreciate what God's blessed us with a lot of times. But I thank God that He don't give up on us. As Miss Anna said, I'm glad that He don't just look at me and decide that He's done and He's done fed up and fooling with me and that He's decided to cast me out. I'm glad it don't work that way. And I'll be honest with you, it ought to be shame on us as a people of United States of America that's able to go to church on a free day-to-day basis if we'd like, and we're able to pick up the Word of God and we're able to read it. And shame on us if we're not able to be excited and have some joy and a pep in our step about being able to do so. Because there's somebody somewhere else that's hidden in a basement this morning, or they're hidden in some dark room or down some place that you wouldn't want to have worship service at this morning. That's where they're at, just so they can serve their God. I've got a niece. I asked you, well, I should have mentioned her a moment ago in prayer requests, but I've got a niece that's getting ready to leave for Southeast Asia. She's going to a part of the country that she'll be living in a women's facility that has been taken out of prostitution. Some of these men still look for them, from what I've been told, still try to find these young ladies that's been taken away. And this is a very pretty young lady that's going down there. 20-year-old, 21-year-old now, I think, be going down there to live in this home to try to help these ladies out and to spread the gospel just as much as she can. And I ask you to pray for her. Because she's going somewhere they wouldn't very many of us want to go. They would just wouldn't. They ain't very many of us that would want to get up and go to Southeast Asia this morning and decide we're going to spread the gospel. I'll be honest with you. How can you say that, preacher? Because we don't do it in our own community. Amen. I have to say, how many people have we spoke to this week and said God loves you? That's what she's going to do. Let a bunch of young ladies know God still loves them. We need to understand in the day and time that we live, there's some things missing from the house of God. There's some things missing. God's changed my direction there. Turn with us over to the book of Matthew chapter number 4. I believe we will start over here this morning. We may get over there in John chapter number 1 some, don't know. But I feel like this is where God would have us to come from this morning. And I appreciate once again each and every one of you being here. John chapter number 4 and verse number 24 is where we begin to read. And we'll read a couple of verses here. John chapter number 4 and verse 24. And it says, His fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him the sick people that were taken with the diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from the Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I want to stop right there this morning. We need to understand, somebody else around you may not have what you have. Somebody else around you may not have what you think you would like to have, or you may not be as blessed of a person as what you would like financially or physically. But you're blessed. Amen. Father, we come to you this morning. I thank you and I love you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. And Father, I ask you, God, this morning that you'd please help. Lord, I am just a man and I stand alone, Father God, this morning if you stand not with me, Lord. And I ask you, God, Lord, that you'd please bless and touch, Lord, your word. God, I pray, God, that you bless us with your spirit this morning, God, that you just abound in this service. And Father God, I pray, God, that we could leave, Lord, a little different than it was when we come in, Lord. And God, that we could go about in a desire and have a burning desire, Lord, in our heart, God, to better serve you in the way that we go, Lord. Father God, that we'd honor you and glorify you, and God, we'd uplift you in the way, God, that you'd be pleased. Lord, Father God, I pray, God, this morning that you bless those that are sick, those that are hurting this morning, God, those that are unable to be here. Father God, you know each and every one, and God, you know the thoughts and the concerns, Lord, on each and every individual's heart here this morning. But I pray, God, for a little while, Lord God, that we'd put aside those things, and God, we'd allow you, Lord, to dwell and work and live amongst us this morning, Lord, and God, that you would bless us, God, in a way that only you can. Lord, we love you, and Lord, we stand in need of you this morning, whether or not we fail, whether or not we want to admit that or not. Lord, we're none closest to the Lord as we could be. We're not as close, God, as we should be. God, we're not as on fire, God, as we once was. And Lord, I pray, God, that you'd help us this morning, God, or that we'd realize for just a little while, God, that there's a fame, God, that needs to follow. Lord, I love you, and I ask you, Father God, that you please help. In Christ's name, amen. You can be seated this morning. I want to start this out for just a moment and slow down here for just a minute. I want to think about something. The Bible said that in verse number 24, and his fame went throughout all Syria and they brought unto him all the sick people that were taken with the diverse diseases, torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had palsy, and he healed them. But there had to be something there that was a fame brought before him. There was a thing there that, sort of like John when he was out there in the wilderness, John said, I'm not the light, but I've come to bear witness of the light. There's a part in each and every one of us this morning that we're supposed to be bearing witness of the light that's come into this walk of life and come to this world. He's given you hope this morning. He's given you love this morning. He's given you peace this morning. If you've been saved and you have a joy that a lot of people do not have.
Amen.
And with that said, I want to say this. Give me a couple of the youngins. Any of the youngins, come here for just a second. Come here, boys. Why don't you tell me something? Who's your favorite football player?
Cam Newton.
What can you tell me about him? Physical attributes, anything that stands out that just makes him...
6'4", 265.
You been reading cards? Favorite basketball player? Muggsy Bogues. What can you tell me about Muggsy Bogues?
He's serving from life.
Muggsy tall or short?
He's short.
Real short?
Yeah, about 5'3".
Could Muggsy dunk a basketball?
Uh-huh.
He did, too. Just about. He jumped over somebody's back one time and dunked a basketball, if I remember correctly. Climbed up their back, basically, and dunked it. But I asked these men, these young men this for a reason. What number's Cam Newton? Number one. Does he like coming out of the pocket, or does he like being under center? Or does he like being under center, or does he like coming from shotgun?
Shotgun.
Likes shotgun. Is he a pocket passer, or does he like getting outside the pocket?
Both.
Is he better on his feet, or is he more of a pocket passer, though?
He's better on his feet.
I ask you this for a specific reason. Muggsy Bogues, was he better down low or trying to block out the big man, or was he up better ball handler up front?
Ball handler up front.
One of the lowest men you could ever see. I actually believe he dribbled through Larry Johnson's legs, if I remember correctly, in a ball game one day. That's how little Muggsy Bogues was. There's things about people that we realize. There's things about people that we recognize. We go through life and we'll have people in our life. We've got sports figures that we know all about. And I don't mean nothing about this to y'all. That's each and every one of us. I can tell you about Michael Jordan. I can tell you about his three-point shot that he shot to win the game against the Jazz. I can tell you about the time that he left from the foul line and dunked a basketball. I can tell you how he stuck his tongue out when he was flying through the air and he'd cock that arm back and get ready to slam it down. I can tell you those things. I can tell you that now one of the biggest highlights. Who's the best name in basketball right now? Who's the biggest name? LeBron. What is he? King James. Steph Curry. Russell Westbrook. I can tell you all about Brett Favre. Why? Because that's who I grew up around. I watched Brett Favre. Y'all have watched Cam Newton. Y'all have watched some of these other players. But I can tell you all about Brett Favre. I got card after card after card at home, but I can't tell you his height and his weight and how old he is and all that kind of stuff. But I can tell you some of the things about him that stood out to me. I love the fact that Brett Favre was a gunslinger. He didn't like just standing in the pocket. He didn't like making the ordinary throw. He liked trying to push it on in there. He was willing to sell out. I like that. I like John Elway, how the fact that when it comes down to win the ball game for that time in the Super Bowl, that he didn't just come and dive in at the line of scrimmage. He jumped head first into the end zone to win the game. I can tell you all about all them people. I can tell you about all that stuff. And so can they. And so can you. You fellas can have a seat. But I want to ask you something. There was a young Shulamite young lady over in the book of Solomon that began to try to search for somebody, try to look for somebody, try to find somebody one night because of the fact that her beloved had come to her and he had stuck his hand in by the door and he had knocked and she did not open because she took off of her clothes and she done put her bedtime stuff on. And the Bible said that she'd washed her feet and she'd crawled into bed. But when it come time that she realized that she was missing something. She had to get up and go outside. And she had to tell them who it was she's looking for. She couldn't just walk out there. I said, there was a young man stuck his hand in by the door. Anybody seen him? No. When she walked outside and she approached them young ladies that was walking in the midst of the street that night, she began to say, he's Rudy. He's altogether lovely. There's something about him that stood out. We're living in a day and time and in a country that we need God to stand out. You need something in your life that God's going to stand out. It ain't got to be me. It ain't got to be you. We ought not to invite people to the house of God because of who our preacher is. We ought not to invite people to the house of God because who our pianists are or who our singers are. We ought to invite people to the house of God because who God is.
Amen.
Amen. We're living in a day and time that there's so many preachers that think they're something special. There ain't nothing special about me. If they weren't nothing special about Paul, they definitely ain't nothing special about me. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. We need to get to a point in our life that there's some fame behind our Savior. We're walking down a lonely road. We can't tell nobody about Him because we don't pick up our Bible. We don't read it. We don't study. We don't pray. We don't show ourselves approved so that we're not fit for the kingdom of God.
Amen.
We're not fit to try to stir that pot because we don't care. There ain't a doubt in my mind. There's a lot of you probably done thought this morning, I can't wait till I can get home. We've done got the hot wings on. We've done got the soups and stirred. We've done got the cheese in the pot. I've done browned the sausage to go in the cheese and got the rotel ready. I've got the chips laid out on the countertop. I'm ready for the football game tonight. Amen. That's the nation we live in. I'll probably still never ain't liked at one church because the fact that they decided they was going to cancel visitation service one night. I was there, they asked me what I thought about it, and I told them what I thought about it. When we get to a point in our life that we're willing to cancel what God wants us to do for a football game so that we can go enjoy everything in this world, honey, we got problems.
Amen. You're right.
I want you to understand something. The Bible said that the multitude followed them and will come to Him and ask for His help and seek Him and the desires that they had and the sicknesses that they had, the infirmities that they had, not because of the fact that He was some white man that was walking down the road, not because of the fact that He was any ordinary individual, but because of the fact there was something special about this man.
Right.
Yeah. Acts tells us He's like no other. There is no other name mentioned under heaven whereby men must be saved. If there is no other, He's like no other. I've preached a message several times on the fact that what my wife caught my attention in my life. And there's things about my wife that I can tell you about my wife. There's things that I could close my eyes and touch her ears and to feel her face and to realize who she is. I know what she is. I know who she is. I can understand and be able to do that by the touch of just being able to lay my hands upon her or her smell or her voice. I can understand. I can compensate those things. And I can realize that because there's something special about her. She's like no other to me in my life. God's got to be the same way.
Amen.
We're living in a day and time, though, that God's second best in most of our lives. God's sitting there. God, we don't realize who He is. We don't realize the fact that He's seated on the throne. We don't realize that He's still alive today. He's making intercession for me and you. We don't realize that no more. We're living in a day and time in the church house in the day that it's grown so cold, that people's grown so indifferent with each other, that we've got to a point in our life that we've separated ourselves from the love of God.
Amen.
We've left Him. He ain't left us. We've left Him. Where's the fame of Jesus? When's the last time this week that you said, won't you come down to the house of God? I want to show you somebody. It ain't my pastor. It ain't my choir leader. It ain't my pianist. It ain't the children. It ain't the fun and games that we have. I just want to show you God. John chapter number 1, verse number 57, verse number 47, it says, and Jesus saw Nathanael coming to Him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. God done knew about Nathanael. God done knew where Nathanael had been. God knew all about me. God knew all about you. God knows everything in our hearts today, whether or not we like it, lump it, or love it. I want you to understand something. But Philip had a need to go get Nathanael. Philip had a need to go tell Nathanael. He said, hey, the day following Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, of the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. That was something specific that Nathanael had to point out to Philip. There was something specific that he had to show him. And it says, Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Honey, I want you to understand that's one thing that stops most Christian people in the day and time that we live. You say, preacher, there ain't nothing good that can come out of me. You're absolutely right. I am nothing but the filthy rags of my old dirty past. But honey, I want you to understand something. Because of the righteousness of God that has stepped into my life, I've got the power and the ability that you sung about having that power and having the grace of God on your life. Honey, I want you to understand something. We can go out into a lost and dying world. Philip didn't go to him telling Nathanael who he was. Philip didn't have to get his attention because of how great he was. Philip just had to say, come see. Come see. Us as Christian individuals need to realize in the day and time that we live, we need to get past our thoughts and our abilities of the world telling us you ain't no better than this. You ain't no better than that. I remember what you used to be. I remember what you did do. I remember those things. God said He didn't care. He said He cast them as far as the east is from the west. He's allowed you to be free and free indeed if you're born by the blood of the Lamb this morning. Honey, I want you to understand something. We need to get to a point in our life that we're realizing, as Nathanael did, just come see. You ain't got to tell no great big something. You ain't got to spread no huge message. You just got to be willing to be used. You began to look over there and you began to think on the fact that I began to think on Matthew chapter number 8 and verse 27. It says, but the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the seas obey him? Yeah. There's something special about this man. That's what they began to realize when he was asleep there on the hinder part of the ship, and they thought they was going down, and they began to wake him and they began to stir him, and he stirred the winds and he stirred the water and he caused them all to cease, and he began to steal the winds of their life. Honey, I want you to understand something. It ain't about you. They thought they was going down, but they soon realized the one they got with them, man, we ain't never seen nobody like this.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
There's something special about him. I ask you this morning, when's the last time you realized that Jesus was more than just your Savior? He's your Alpha.
Yep.
He's your Omega. He's your beginning. He's your end. He's the one that's going to go with you and stick closer to you than any brother that ever thought about. He's going to be the one that's going to go with you even to the end. He's going to be your helper when you're with the helpless. He's going to be your lamb when you're without. He's going to be your desire. He wants to be your desire in your life. He wants to be your all in all and everything that you've got. God wants to be that for you.
Amen.
But we're living in a world that's satisfied. We're just coming to church for a little while. Going back out into a lost and dying world.
Yep.
And thinking, they'll be all right. They'll come to know it before it's everlastingly too late. How many of us have sat down, somebody's got a burden on their heart, or you've seen somebody, and you said, Lord, please save them before it's too late? I have. Why is it not, Lord, please use me to save them before it's too late? Because it's a whole lot easier to say, I hope somebody else does it. Can I tell you something this morning? There's things about each and every one of you that will make a difference in somebody else's life.
Yeah.
Whether you like it or not, there's things about you that will make a difference in somebody else's life. I don't know what your name is. What's your name?
Dan.
Dan, can I tell you something? Ask your wife when you was up there playing on the organ there. I said, he used to go to Mount Zion Baptist Church. She said, sure did. I used to watch you play that piano all the time. I thought, man, that boy can sure make that thing talk. Whether or not you realized it or not, there was a 16-year-old boy that would drive to Mount Zion Baptist Church from Elkton, North Carolina. And he'd watch you, and I remembered you. That ought to take note in some of our lives. That ought to take note when you're picking on this piano, or you're strumming on that guitar, or you're sitting there and you're teaching the gospel in some Sunday school class.
Amen.
Somebody's remembering you.
Amen.
There ought to be some fame about Jesus. There ought to be something about Him that stands out. There ought to be something about Him that takes hold of you like nothing else has ever took hold of. And He allows you to have some fame about Him in your life.
Amen. Amen.
If Jesus never gets hold of your heart, I'd do some checking up. I'll be honest. Because there's something about Him that's just like no other. I also began to think on the fact that how John was there, and John began over in John chapter number 1, began to talk, and as they were coming to John, they were asking John different things, trying to get John to stumble, trying to get John to say who he was, trying to get John to mess up or to cause some type of problem in John's life. But John said, he said, I am not the light. I have come to bear witness. I've been sent to come to bear witness of the light. But John, over in chapter number 1, verse number 21, it says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and he saith, behold, the Lamb of God.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
I believe there's something stood out about him. I believe there's something. Boys, when you walk out on the football field, you want the next team to look over at you and say, oh, he's just some little old squirt. No. You'll come out, you'll get an extra size smaller jersey. I've been there. You'll try to make it tuck over your pads. You won't want the, just the regular face mask. Any of you ever played football knows what I'm talking about. You ever looked at it, you know what I'm talking about. You don't want the little two-bar scrubby-looking face mask that the quarterback wears. You want that one with the grill in it because I'm coming to get you. We do things that make a difference in our life, in our game, in our things, and whatever we're doing. We don't want to show up at the golf course with some 1980s set of golf clubs. We want to show up with 2018 beans. Mr. Suits, you're going to show up down here at the long shooting competition with a regular little old Marlin 22 bolt action quick shot whatever from Walmart? No, sir. It's going to be built on a platform with a bull barrel on it, and it's going to have some big old scope on it, and it's going to be weighing about 45 pounds so it don't move at all. And you can sit down there and you can adjust her ends. You can get her out lined up, and you can shoot the bullseye. I say that. You say, Preacher, what are you talking about? We'll do everything in life to make sure everything else in life is what we want it to be. But how many of us take that extra step to make sure everything in our life, that's the only thing that matters, which is Jesus Christ,
Amen.
Is something different about you and in you than what He is in the one next door?
Right.
I ain't in competition with nobody, but I can tell you one thing, if I can do just a little more and I can speak just a little better and I can preach just a little harder, I'm going to do that to the best of my ability, because one of these days I'm going to stand before God.
Amen.
We go through life and we're satisfied with what little bit that we have. We're satisfied with the fact that we can sing songs about how the fact that we're saved. I glory be to God, I'm glad that I'm saved. But I hope that there's more about my life than just being saved. I hope there's more about my life than just being able to tell somebody, God saved me, and that's all there is to it. Honey, I want you to understand something. We sing a lot of songs in our life that we don't even realize what words we're singing. We don't realize what it is that we're going by. And I want you to read. I want to read to you a song right quick. Anybody ever sung Love Lifted Me? If you've been in church long, I promise you, you've either heard it or sung it one. Won't you listen to these words? It hit me this morning. I was riding down the road and I had to think about this when I got here and mark it down. It says, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Verily deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the seas heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. Now listen, we love that first verse. Verse number 2. All all my heart to Him I give. Ever to Him I cling. I am blessed in His blessed presence live. Ever His praises to sing. Boy, we can tell everybody about the football players. When LeBron James comes, the ticket prices at Charlotte Coliseum go up double. Jesus is in the house, half the people don't want to show up. Amen. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best song. Faithful, loving service to Him belongs. Souls in dangers look above. Jesus completely saves. Ain't you glad He didn't just partially? He will lift you by His love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the seas. Billows His will obey. He's your Savior. Wants to be saved today. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted you. We're living in a day and time that we think that the fact that we're saved, that's good enough. We think that the fact that we're saved and we're on our way to heaven, that's all right. Honey, I want you to understand we ought to have peace in our soul, but we ought to have an excitement in our step in the fact that we can realize that we can go out into a lost and dying world. We don't have to fear them that can harm the body. We just have to fear the one that can destroy the soul, and we can get in our arms with God, and we can strive in this walk of life to please Him. Something I thought of here a few months ago that I had never thought of before. I want to read to you something. I wrote this down in a message a while back. I actually found it this morning. It should bless your heart . Did your family get to choose who you were? Mom and Daddy got what they got, didn't they?
A good thing.
You're right. We'll go through life. Don't get me wrong. I had a grandma that I loved more than anybody in this whole world. She taught me how to walk. She took care of me. I lived in a little 10 by 10 shack with my mom and daddy down behind her house for a couple years. I loved her. But she didn't get to choose who I was. She was stuck with me whether I was ugly or whether I was pretty or whether I was fat or whether I was skinny. She got what she got. Whether I was a brat or whether I was the best kid in the world, she got what she got. My mama and my daddy, they got what they got. There's a lot of people that wants to sing songs about how they love grandma and how everything good grandma was and everything that grandma done. Grandma didn't do for you what God done.
Amen. Amen.
It ought to bless your heart. Mom and daddy and grandma and grandpa, they got what they got. Didn't have no choice. But God knew you. God knew who you were. God knew what you'd done. God knew what you was going to do, where you was going to fail, the times that you was going to fall short, the times that you was going to sin. He done knew the times that you was going to sin before you ever decided to get on your knees and ask for forgiveness. God done knew you. But God loved you. Why does He mean so little to us? You say, preacher, He don't. I love Him. I thank Him every night before I go to bed. If that's the only time we thank God, God help. If that's the only time that we can fall on our knees is when we got something, some plate of food before us and we want to hurry through a prayer and we want to get done so we can eat, God help. That ought to be something about our life. Ought to be something about our life that stands out. John said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Not just a Lamb of God, but the one that cometh to take away the sins of the world. He's something special. Special enough that when John was in his mother's womb, that he began to leap inside of her because of the fact that he had even found out that Jesus was coming. I got a question this morning. Where are we at in our walk of life? Where's the fame of God at around you? I've got a hat that says East Wilkes High School. I'll wear it up and down the road. I'll wear it out to eat. I'll do this, that, and the other. I'm proud of them boys because they've done a good job the past few years in playing. They've worked hard. But I got a question. Where's God? When's the last time you went up to somebody and you invited them to the house of God? When's the last time that you loved the fact that God had saved you and loved you and blessed you to that you went up to somebody and said, "Let me just tell you something"? I encourage you. We're in a world that churches are watering down the power of God. We're in a day and time that churches are they're losing sight of who God really is. And I encourage you. I trust Brother Josh. I love Brother Josh. But I encourage you, don't you allow your church to get to that point. You say, "We ain't and we won't." 2 Peter, I believe, says, "Beware, lest you be led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." That quick. Getting your eyes off of God. That quick. Fall. I encourage you this morning, when you come into the house of God each and every Sunday or each and every Wednesday night, that you look out, you look to God, you seek God's face before you come into the house of God, and you pray. God, show up. I can tell you there's about 6 little bitty youngins running around here right now that one of these days, if they get out into the hell holes of this world and they end up dying in a car accident and you realize that you didn't do your part, you'll look back and say, "Man, I wish I'd have done more." Young men, I want to tell you something. I can tell you this, and your mom and daddy can tell you this, and they ain't a doubt in my mind, if they were saved when they was in high school, there's not a person in here in this room that can't look back there at you and tell you right now, you're the only two I see in here that's probably school age beside my son, and he's heard me say this before myself. You'll look back one of these days, and you'll realize you shouldn't have drove them around while they was drunk. You should have told them they shouldn't have been drinking. You'll realize that you shouldn't have took them and dropped them off here, there, and the other to keep mom and daddy from knowing something about it. Yes, sir, that's me. I didn't drink, I didn't party, I didn't drug, I didn't do all that mess, but my friends could call me up and I'd take them wherever they wanted to go. Because I didn't want them to get hurt. Can I tell you something? In the past year, I buried 6 people that was my age or younger for drugs or alcohol. All year long last year, I had to thank God. I mean, what if you'd have done something different? What if you'd have been a better witness to them instead of just taking them around and trying to keep them safe back then? That's each and every one of us in here this morning. You might not be in school, but I can tell you one thing. You'll work beside somebody. You'll walk beside somebody. You'll go to Walmart and stand in line with somebody. And I ask you, when's the last time that you felt compelled to make a difference? What God's done in your life should mean more to us than the fact that, hallelujah, I'm saved. It ought to compel us. In the day and time that we live, when we look outside and we see, can I tell you a statistic that I found out a couple years or about a year ago now? I'll shut up here in a minute and let you go home. They done a survey of children in college. Did a survey of children in college. 20% of them. 20%, if memory serves me correct, 20% of those college children that they went to and surveyed were church-going children. And they took this survey and they asked them, how many of you have ever been intoxicated? 92% of those kids said, absolutely. They asked them, if you do it on a weekly basis, memory serves me correctly, almost 80% said they were drunk on a weekly basis. Of the ones involved in accidents and died, of the so many million in the state in the United States of America in 2015, I forget now the exact number, but it was astronomical. 10% of them were Baptist raised young men and young women. You say, preacher, it won't happen here. You better make sure. You better do your part to pray and to seek God's face. I've got an aunt and uncle that buried their son here just a couple years ago now. All their life said, not mine. Not mine. Oh yeah. It's yours. You better look around. You better be an example and a light to somebody. Because the fame of Jesus in the day and time that we're living in is getting a little less and a little less and a little less. And these kids are thinking more and more and more about everything else. Not just the kids, every one of them surround us in our communities. And I ask you this morning, if you're here and you're saved, I ask you this morning, if love's lifted you, where's your praise? If love's lifted you, where's your desire? If love's lifted you, where you at? Because there's somebody out here in this lost and dying world that needs your help. Of some having compassion, making a difference. It's time that we as Christian people decide that there's something special about our God that we're going to go tell somebody. We're going to make a difference. Because if you don't, I ask you, who will? Who will? As you stand to your feet, as the pianist comes, I ask you if you would, this morning, stand to your feet. If you're here and you're lost, I want to encourage you. I want you to know something. There's something about my God. He's altogether lovely. He's rooty. He's comely this evening. He's the best thing that I've ever had. He's the best thing that's ever been. He's been a friend when nobody else cared. He's been a help in my ever-present time of trouble.
Amen. Amen.
There's something about Him that makes Him different than anybody else I could ever tell you about. If you're here and you're lost, I encourage you. God loves you.